I feel a bit, I've not done anything like this for about 2 years, and I feel a bit like I've been pushed, I think by Singer Matin, into a lake. And I don't know if I can swim yet. When I was meditating, often when, if I'm about to do something like this, and I meditate beforehand, the talk sort of plays itself a bit through my mind, yeah? And I had a pen and paper in front of me just in case I had any new and wonderful ideas, yeah? But it didn't. It was silent. Apart from thinking about things occasionally, but it was silent. And yeah, it was just like pure emotion and love. And so I feel like I'm in this lake of beautiful, sweet water, and I might be about to drown. And well, that's fine, isn't it? That's okay. That's going to happen one day. So. Yeah, I am, as Singer Matin said, it's like, yeah, I am, I'm very, very interested in people. I really like people. And I'm very interested in what people do. Singer Matin used that phrase, put your money where your mouth is. Yeah. I think that's such an important phrase that we use in English, put your money where your mouth is. The other one, which is slightly less provocative, is actions speak louder than words. So I'm really interested in what people do. So to put that in another way, I'm really interested in what people do with their lives. I'm really interested in what people do when they're happy. Yeah. And when they're sad. What people do when they're sad. I'm really interested in what people do when they're alone. What do you do when you're alone? And no one is watching. I hope, as I say this, things go through your mind. Yeah? Maybe things you're proud of. Maybe things you're a little ashamed of. Maybe just hopefully there's a richness. Yeah? I'm really interested in people. I'm really interested in what people do when they see suffering. When they see other people suffering. Yeah? What do you do? What do you feel? That's often the more usual question in Buddhist circles. I'm not that interested in what you feel. What do you do? So yeah, here we are. Life, we go through life. And we make decisions, don't we? We decide to do things. We don't just do things, we do just do things. That's the question, isn't it? That's the nub of life. Yeah. How do we make those calls? How do we find ourselves? That's the good way of putting it. How do we find ourselves doing what we're doing? Yeah. That is the question in my life. Yeah. How is it that we find ourselves doing what we're doing? I was thinking about this, and if you think about a baby, yeah, baby's crying. You don't know what's the matter. You don't know what's the matter. Maybe it's hungry, you try food, it doesn't work. Maybe it's thirsty, you try water, it doesn't work. Maybe it needs a cuddle. I imagine, if my experience is anything to go by, I used to be a baby, and there's been a progression from then, in some ways. I imagine that the baby doesn't know either. Yeah? So a story from my life was to do with giving up smoking. And I've mentioned this story before, but and I sort of feel a bit ashamed of retelling a story. Yeah. And I'm going to retell a few stories tonight, which I've told before to many people in this room. And part of me is like, I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't retell stories. I should have a fresh story. Yeah. But if I'm retelling a story from 20 years, 30 years ago, it's obviously significant. So I find myself wanting to tell a story. It was a story of smoking a cigarette. Yeah, it's a short episode in my life, nearly 30 years ago. So I was trying to give up smoking. I wanted to stop smoking. I'd been trying to stop smoking for quite a number of years. And this particular phase, it'd been a few days, I hadn't had a cigarette. And I had this feeling here, this what I always called this feeling here, yeah, is a sort of dry, burning, sucking feeling here, which is craving for a cigarette. Yeah, that's what it feels like, to crave a cigarette. There's this sort of something here. Yeah. So I fought with this for days, and then I rolled a cigarette, and I could feel it. I could feel this, and I was thinking, oh, yeah, oh, I need the cigarette. Lit it, and I could feel this. Halfway through, I could feel it. I finished it. I could still feel this thing. Yeah. And it's like, oh, that feeling, which I've always called craving for a cigarette, has nothing to do with cigarettes. Yeah. So I had to relearn something. I've been making choices for years based on an interpretation of a feeling which in that moment I realised was wrong. Yeah. And the whole of life opens up at that point. I stopped smoking at that point. Yeah. I did occasionally have cigarettes since then, but just as a, not in a addicted way. Yeah. Do you get the connection there with the baby doing that sort of from scratch with everything, yeah, and then me seeing, oh, there are so many things that I do to change. I do things because I want to change the way I feel. Is it working? Yeah. How am I making those choices? So you lot, you all came here this evening, yeah. Great, here you are. And when I think of that, I was thinking, people come to the Buddhist Centre. I've been coming to this Buddhist Centre for years. I worked here for, I don't know, it was a dozen years. And now I live in Spain. Very, very, very beautiful mountain range in Spain. And my holidays, I come here. Which to me is completely natural. But if I think, I'm going on holiday, where should I go? Oh, should I go to Venice? I could motorcycle across America. No, I think I'll go to Birmingham. Hang out in Moseley with friends in cafes and walk in the park. And it's very muddy, isn't it, this country? So here you are, you come here this evening, and what the first thing that comes to my mind is, I hope you're making the most of it. I've seen so many people come to this Buddhist centre, thousands of people I've seen come to this Buddhist centre. And some of them, goodness, you know, their lives are utterly transformed by the Dharma. Some people, they come here and it's just so beautiful and wonderful to see people transform and become so rich and happy, and most people who come here, it's good, they enjoy it, and we enjoy them, and we drink tea together, and I sort of, well, you're not quite making the most of it, yeah? You're not quite making the most of it, and yeah, that, I want to make the most of my life, and I want other people to make the most of their lives. So I'm going to give you three pieces of advice. Yeah? Maybe you all are making utterly the most of it. Yeah? I'm not making the most of my life. Three pieces of advice. Yeah. And you've probably heard these before. First one is be an individual. Yeah, you've probably heard that before somewhere along the line. Yeah. Be an individual. What does that mean? It means be honest. It means be honest. Means speak the truth. Yeah. Don't hide. You don't need to wear masks. If you're sad, Sarah will love you even more than he does already. Yeah. If you're happy, he'll enjoy that as well, mostly. Yeah, be honest. Feel into the edge of what you know. Yeah, that, to me, be an individual, feel into the edge of what you know. What do you know? What is the edge of your life? What are the tender edges? What are the exciting edges? What are the hard edges? Well, feel into the edges. What is truth? Yeah, what do you believe? This is supposed to be a talk on faith. Yeah? What do you believe? Where do you find meaning? Where do you find meaning? We all find meaning in very different places and in very different ways. So that phrase, get to know yourself, I really don't like that phrase, get to know yourself. Again, the baby is sort of so relational, isn't it? Well, it's born, and it's so relational, it's connected to the mother, and suddenly the father. And then my experience of going from baby to here is that relational with other human beingsness gets more and more and more every year. Yeah. Yes, there are some very painful cuts, obviously. Yeah. But generally, there are more people in my life. I know more people as the years go by. I need people more. I feel more love. I feel more connection. And I'm not interested in getting to know myself. I'm interested in getting to know my relationships. Yeah? What do you do? What do you do when you're with your friend? What do you do when you see a friend that you haven't seen for months? Yeah? Or years? How does that feel, and what do you do? How do you respond? Who are you relationally? Yeah. There's so many tangents. The pool is here, and I could swim in various directions. Yeah. And now my mind's just gone blank having said that. Yeah. I think for me, one of the important things with what I've just said is learning to relax. Yeah. One famous Buddhist teacher said, if you think you're enlightened, go and spend 2 weeks with your parents. Yeah. You'll find out how developed you are. Yeah. But I'd put that more widely. Yeah. How are you when your friends from the Buddhist Centre meet your friends from work or meet your family? Yeah. It's a classic one. It's a wonderful thing to just to play with that in your imagination and maybe in life as well, to let those things meet. So I've written there my turning point. I wonder what that meant. I wonder what that means. My turning point. It was certainly Dharmada. Dharmada asking me a question. So I was around Buddhist Centre a lot. I was Mitra convener, and there was a number of people who wanted me to be their preceptor, to ordain them. Yeah. And I kept saying, no, I can't do it. I'm a mess. I'm unintegrated, and I don't have much faith. I'm a mess. I'm all over the place. My being is just riddled with doubt and confusion. And Dharmada, standing by the tea counter, said to me, Sarah! I've gone blank again. What was that? What was it he said? He said, Sarah, do you have much faith? And I said, no, I've got no... No, he just said, how are you? And I said, oh, I'm all over the place. I've got so much doubt. And Dharmada said, Saraha, you don't appear like that. Your actions are not the actions of someone with a lot of doubt. And it was like being hit by a ton of bricks. I've been going through life basing my self-view on my feelings. Whereas my actions and my speech, I'm one of the most reliable people I know, outwardly. Inwardly, I'm an absolute mess. Yeah? Which is more important? Or even more, which is a truer window into what's going on here? Yeah? What's going on in this Saraha-shaped bit of the universe? Yeah? What's a truer indication of who I am, my feelings, which I've got a confused relationship with, I couldn't even tell whether I craved a cigarette or not, yeah? Or my actions, what am I doing with my life? Yeah? What do I do when I get up in the morning? What do I do when I meet people? And that moment, I just totally changed the way I think about myself. I stopped basing my self-view on my feelings and started basing my self-view on how I live my life. Yeah. And at that point, I realised, yeah, I can do this. I can take myself seriously. And I can let other people take me seriously. And yeah, that was very good. That was a very good moment. So another phrase that I love in the English language, throw it up in the air. Throw things up in the air. Yeah? Imagine you've got a box of objects and you throw them up in the air. Yeah? Imagine you've got your life. Here you are, sitting here right now with your life. This is your life. Yeah? This is a moment. All of your past is here somehow in the room, in your experience, all your relationships. Yeah? You could, if I asked you now who your best friends were, you'd know who were your best friends from school. You might obviously, that's all here somehow, yeah? I'm going to ask you now to throw all that up in the air. So when you throw stuff up in the air, you don't lose any of it. It's still there. But it's not in its neat little box, in its compartments. Yeah? You throw it all up in the air. So it's all there. Every bit of your life is still there. But it's floating. It's flying up and it's floating. And so the relationships between everything are changing. Yeah? So my thing of my feelings, my actions and my speech, I threw it all up in the air. And I realised that my feelings are a lot less important than I've been giving them credit for. And my actions and my speech were more important. So that's an example of that. So I'm going to ask you now to turn to someone next to you. We're not going to be speaking. I might ask you to say a few words at the end to the person. But just get into a pair with somebody next to you. Someone who doesn't scare you too much, ideally. And just turn to someone and look at them. Okay, so look at them. Yeah. Let yourself be seen. You don't have to look at their face. Yeah? In fact, I'd rather you didn't look at them in the eye. Don't look at them in the eye. Yeah? That's a bit too much. Yeah? Look at their hands or their shoulders or their hair or their face, if you want. Yeah? Just be aware there's a human being in front of you. Prudence always giggles when we do this sort of thing. She's been doing that for 20 years. So yeah, we often hone in on the face, but the face, the body's so, there's so much going on in the whole body, yeah. So think of, and I'm not going to ask you to talk about this, but just look at this person and be seen, let yourself be seen, yeah. You're being seen by someone who's kind. And now think, just gently think of a problem in your life or a question. Question in your life. It might be something really big, like whether to ask someone to marry you or leave you, or It might be a changing a job or it might be, shall I stay around a bit at the end and help wash up the mugs? It might be a little question. Yeah? Any, just something. And feel your whole body. Yeah, just, or every bit of your body. Or not every bit, but the whole, whatever's there, yeah, whatever's there. Feel all of your life is here, your relationships. And I was on retreat recently and I was meditating and I had an experience that I'm going to try to evoke in you now. So you were 8 years old. You're also 80 years old. And tomorrow is your 50th birthday. Today is your first day at school. It's a few months after you retire. Your first kiss. All this is here. Yeah? The past, the future, the present. All this is here. I don't want to say throw it up in the air, that feels too hard, but let it float. Let it float up into the air. Let it all be there, yeah, kind. There's a person looking at you very kindly. Their experience is as intense as yours. Feel your whole body. Whole life. Okay. Oh, what a nice atmosphere. Okay, I'm not going to ask you to say anything. You can talk to the person you were looking at later if you like, or not. So my second piece of advice, and these two are, in my world, in Saraha's world, these two things are very, very similar. They're very closely related. So my second piece of advice is deepen your communication with other human beings. It's great to communicate with animals and with gods and with ghosts and with spirits. I encourage that, but really deepen your communication with other human beings. Yeah. Simply that. Yeah. Look at the people in this room. Some of them, you might know them for the rest of your life. Some of them. Are you making the most of them? Are you making the most of the other people in this room? Whatever that means. Yeah, whatever that means. I was talking with Singamati the other day and we were talking about a friend, well, a mutual friend, but a friend of hers. And she said, we like each other well enough to disagree. Something like that. And I just loved that. We like each other well enough to disagree. Yeah. I often think it's something that I dislike about the English in general and myself in particular, that thing of agreeing. I think the Spanish are just as bad, actually, of trust each other well enough to disagree. You could say that sentence in many different ways. We like each other well enough to disagree. We trust each other well enough to disagree. We're interested in each other well enough to disagree. Yeah. What do you need? What do you need well enough so that you can disagree with someone? Yeah. What do you need in that relationship so that you can maybe agree to disagree? There's another lovely phrase in our language, yeah? To agree to disagree. Which doesn't mean ignore it. So when I was thinking about this, giving this talk, one of the first things I wanted to the first thing that came to my mind I wanted to say was every sangha needs an argument. Yeah? And I very quickly realised that I don't agree with that. I think that's nonsense. Yeah? Every sangha does not need an argument. Yeah? But anyway, I'm going to say it. Every sangha needs an argument. Yeah. When I was in Manchester, before I was ordained, I was a mitra in Manchester, and there was an argument there that raged around the Buddhist centre. There was stuff about Sangharakshita because the Guardian article came out, and there was all other stuff as well, but the real meaty argument that raged around was beauty. Is it objective or subjective? This was gripping, yeah. Oh, it was a powerful argument. It mattered. I don't know if it raged around the whole sangha, it was me. it was a conversation between me and Moksha Prayer maybe two or three times, probably. But it feels like it was an argument that raged around the whole sangha. Is beauty a truth in the universe? Or is it a subjective response? Yeah. Is beauty in the eye of the beholder? Or is beauty an objective quality, a factor? I don't have an answer. I had strong opinions then. I still hold those opinions I had then. I still sort of hold them, but much more nuanced, much lighter. I really don't agree that every sangha needs an argument. But it's good if it does have one. It is very good if it does have one, if you have one. Yeah? Maybe it's that. Every practitioner needs an argument. Maybe every practitioner needs a problem. Ratnaguna put it like that once. If you want to get anywhere with the Dharma, you need a problem. Yeah? You need something to get your teeth into. But I don't even agree with that. You need passion. You need passion. Maybe. Yeah. So in those days, I was reading everything I could get hold of by Sangharakshita, and after a couple of years, I read a sentence which said, if you want to get anywhere, something like, if you want to get anywhere in Buddhism, you need to understand the five skandhas inside out and backwards. So I spent the next 4 or 5 years trying to understand the five skandhas was the central part of my practice. Yeah, I think when we met, that was probably still going on, and that became a problem for me, not in a problematic sense, but it became something really passionate and gripping. So I came across Buddhism. Excuse me. I came across Buddhism, and it all just seemed very intuitive and easy. Everything I heard, that's really wise and good, and I almost sort of feel I already knew it. I'd never have said it, but it was very intuitive. Came across the five skandhas. I'm not going to talk about the five skandhas. I'll just say it's that if you don't know, you should know them. I hope you know them. Yeah, I'm sure most of you do, inside out and backwards. Yeah. The five skandhas, all I'd say is it's a way of understanding the human being. The human being the one that you generally use the word me for. Yeah? It's a way of understanding that. Yeah? So to me, when I came across the five skandhas and started to study them, it was very, very intuitive. It was right. It was like, oh, this is what it is. But it was also very, very weird. A very weird way of analysing. We can analyse the human being into arms, legs, torso, head. Yeah, but you can analyse it in very different ways. The five skandhas is a way of analysing. The five skandhas is a way of analysing the human being, which is beautiful, intuitive, and weird. Yeah? And I absolutely fell in love with studying that. And I could have, suddenly I found that there was anybody in the Sangha who got a bit of practice who I could have an interesting conversation with. because I had a passion, I had a problem, yeah? Sometimes an argument. Yeah? I had this thing. I wanted to learn. There was something that I didn't understand. Are you making the most of your time at the Buddhist Center? Are you here to learn? If you think that you understand, this is a quote by someone, I'm not sure who, if you think that you understand, that cuts you off from everything that you don't understand, which is almost everything. Almost everything. So find something that you don't understand. Please, find something that you don't understand. There's an awful lot about every one of us, including myself, that I don't understand. Yeah. But just to get into that, love that. You don't understand something. Oh, how wonderful. Yeah. That means you can grow. That means you can learn, you can understand, you can be interested. Yeah. Yeah, if you think you understand, that cuts you off. If you're interested, that connects you. If you're interested, that connects you to other people, to yourself, to the subject. It's in the refuge, in the puja book, the dedication ceremony. May our communication with one another be sangha. May our communication with one another be sangha. Sangha is one of the three jewels. Sangha is one of the refuges. May our communication with one another be sangha. That's, if you think you understand that, you're wrong. What does it mean? Be sangha, to let your communication be sangha. Yeah. Sangha, that's one of the three jewels. The three jewels are the refuges. They're the path to freedom. They're the path to no more suffering. Yeah. How can your communication become the path to you not suffering anymore? And I don't mean you as a singular. Yeah. Your communication can be a path to you not suffering anymore. Yeah. How? Yeah. Answers on the postcard. I'll come back next year and you can tell me how that is the case. Another phrase that came to me. I thought I was going to die. I accidentally poisoned myself in the mountains a few years ago. And it was lovely, actually. I felt very free. I felt... it wasn't lovely, actually. I was puking bile for 16 hours. But there was a quality in there of ease, yeah? And at one point I asked myself, I was sort of looking for a problem somehow, and I couldn't really find one. And I thought, well, if I survive, what do I want to do? And learn better the art of friendship. That's what I want to do if I survive. Learn better the art of friendship. And it's a funny thing to say, isn't it? I want to say that. It's like every time you speak to me in the tea break, you can think, is he actually any good at this? The thing I like most is communication. Go on, then. And then in the last few years, I've moved away from this sangha, and I miss it. Yeah? And in the last few years, I've had a few friends die, and I miss that. I can come back here and see people. I can't. The friends who've died, they're gone. Yeah. It's like, oh. Oh. What? Did I make the most of them? Did we really see each other? Did we really meet? Yeah? What a loss. Yeah? But then, hey, let's not do that. What's now? Yeah? Am I making the most of this? Yeah? Am I making the most of you? Yeah? Am I really showing myself, if that's something you want to do? Am I really being honest? Yeah? There's people here who can help me. Am I letting them? Or am I too proud? Yeah? Oh, I can't learn from you, you know. Yeah. Are you really making the most of it? Are you meeting life in a way that allows you to learn? It's great. You're probably really wise already. You probably are. But you can learn more. Are you open to that? Yeah. Are you open to that? Are you open to getting to know other people? They might die. They might not be here. Yeah. What is your? I'm asking something impossible. Yeah. May our communication with one another be sangha. Yeah. Until we're enlightened, this will all have a taste of unsatisfactoriness. Yeah. So don't set your heights. Don't set your sights too high, in a sense. But if you want to reach the top of the trees, aim for the stars. You'll get to the top of the trees. Yeah. Yeah, so what am I saying? Learn better the art of friendship. Listen to people. Yeah. It's a wonderful time, isn't there, when you've seen me do it, I think, today. I'm not sure, what's that word? I'm having a conversation with someone and what's that word? I'm not sure. And when you know what happens there, you will have an idea. You'll finish my sentence for me. Yeah? Which is a really lovely thing, isn't it? If you're two friends having a conversation and one of them lost for words and the other one finishes the sentence. Can be great, yeah. It can also be really annoying. It really can, yeah. Especially with our natural tendency to want to agree with each other. Like, what is it? Is this? Oh yeah, it's that. And you stop thinking. Don't finish people's sentences for them, or don't do it out loud. Do it silently, yeah. And then, when they find the word, notice how different that was from the word you were going to suggest. And delight in that. You found something to disagree on. You found some nuance, yeah? You're different people. That's great. Yeah? That's really great. So I find with all this, if we do manage to meet other human beings, it is provoking. It's a challenge. It's like being shaken. It's like being stimulated. Yeah. Oh, we disagree. Oh, we're not the same thing. And that is hard. That is challenging. And it's an enormous relief. There's something in me which just like, whew, I can be honest. Hey, I can be honest. Yeah, nothing to hide. I don't have to be anybody. I can just be myself. I'm a mess. People don't seem to mind. Yeah. Yeah? People like me. And I'm a mess. So they'll like you if you're a mess as well. Yeah? And if you don't understand anything, if you're confused, well, I'm confused and doesn't seem to matter. Doesn't seem to matter. Yeah. So there we are. Yeah. Can I get into pairs again? Same pairs or different pairs? And again, I won't ask you to speak. Or I ask you not to speak. And yeah, listen to your body. You can look at the other person in a kind way. So I'm going to ask you some questions. Or no, I'm not. I'm not going to ask you any questions. I'm going to start some sentences and I'm going to stop. And I hope that you find yourself, don't force it, but I hope you find yourself fishing for a word. What's the word at the end of this sentence? Yeah. When I feel joy, I feel it. Or another way of asking the same question. When I notice, then I know that I'm happy. The Buddha sense is friendly, but it's friendly in a certain kind of way. It's friendly and, or it's, the Buddha Center is, so I'm just asking you just to see what word comes and, yeah, hold it lightly. Don't let it stick. When I'm old, I want to be... When I notice... ... then I know that I like somebody. And the last one. It came out of the blue. It was so... Okay, so I've got a third piece of advice. Do you remember the first two? Be an individual, which means let go, relax. And the second one, how did I put that? Not learn better the art of friendship. Deepen your communication with other human beings. Yeah. Deepen means, well, relax means be honest. Don't say things you don't want to say. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't do that. Say what's important. Yeah. The Buddha said, better than 1,000 useless words is one word on hearing which the heart becomes calm. I was talking to someone a few months ago and they were in community, living in a community, and they were like, oh, I just need more solitude. I just need more solitude. I need to get away from people. And I said, no, you don't. You just need to be more honest. And they were like, oh, ton of bricks moment, yeah, bell chimes. Like, yeah, they needed to get away from people because they didn't feel they could be honest with people. Getting away from people is not going to help anybody. Yeah, just be honest. Relax, it's okay. Yeah? I'm a bit grumpy today. I had a nap this afternoon. You know, one of my best preparations for doing something like this is to have a nap, and I was lying there, and I just couldn't fall asleep for ages. And then I fell asleep, and I boom, really deep sleep, and I woke up, and I was really grumpy. And I thought, oh, no. And I went into the kitchen and there was like 8 people down to eat and there was no one had cooked. So I started cooking, and then Jack came home and he was trying to help, and I was grumpy. And sorry, Jack. And we had food in the end. It was great. Okay, my third piece of advice is live for other people. Live for other people. Yeah. It's not all about you. This life is not all about you. It really isn't. My other turning point, again, Dharmada asked me a question. Yeah. It was out by the tea counter. I think it was a little bit further down. And he said, "Saha, do you have any faith? Do you have strong faith?" And I said, and this shocked me, yeah? I said, "I have absolute faith in the three Lakshanas. I have absolute faith that all this is impermanent. It's all pretty grim. And none of it's solid. It's all open. I have absolute faith in that." Which was a bit like me saying, "No, I don't have any faith. You know, Buddhism's impermanent, yeah? It's definitely unpleasant, isn't it? It's definitely not, what's the word, unsatisfactory. Buddhism, it's definitely dukkha, isn't it? And it's, what is it? You study Buddhism for 20 years, and it's like, well, what is it? I can't quite grab anything. It's the three Lakshanas." He asked me, "Have you got any faith?" "I have absolute faith in the three Lakshanas. And I have absolute faith in suffering. Human beings, we suffer. I have absolute faith in that. All of you suffer. I have absolutely no doubt in that. I also have absolutely no doubt that a lot of that suffering is completely unnecessary. Yeah? You can do something about it if you want to." And again, Dharmada asked me a question, yeah? And that brought all that out. And that changed my life. Ask people questions. If you want to make the most of people, ask them questions. Dharmada's good at asking questions. Mm. If somebody asks you a question, don't just blather some response. What's that? It might seem like a silly question, but it wasn't a silly question, or they wouldn't have asked it. Communicate. Be there. Why is the Buddhist Center here? You know that website, the Buddhist Centre online, thebuddhistcentre.com? Yeah? I was looking at that the other day, and there's a page on what do order members do for the world? Yeah? What does Trivatna do for the world? And then there was a sort of list of little things that order members do for the world. You know, a few hostels in India, and charities and raising money, and it didn't say we run Buddhist centres. Yeah? Why are we doing this? Why is Singamati running this Buddhist centre? She's not doing it to get rich. You do this for 10 years and you leave as poor as you arrived. It's a lot of work, it's hard work running a Buddhist centre. Yeah? There's a lot of people involved in running this Buddhist centre, and some of you are those people. Yeah? Ask yourself, why are you doing it? Ask each other why you're doing it. And I hope the answer is because I enjoy it. But that answer is connected with, it helps people. You see people come to the Buddhist centre and wow, their life changes. That's what it is. And when we talk about the movement, Trivatna, oh, what good is Trivatna for the world? The gift of the Dharma. The gift of freedom. That's what we're trying to do. It's great to help the homeless. It's great. It's really important. And it is what people do. But putting on these nights, running this building, that's what we do. That's the important thing, I think. Yeah. That's why I do it. I love it. I love all this. I've devoted most of my life to all this. And I love it. It's me. It's what I want to do. But if people didn't say thank you, I wouldn't have bothered. Yeah? People say, thank you, somehow you changed my life. It's like, yeah, it wasn't me, it was us. Yeah, it was us. So I left. And I live at Ikodama. And somebody asked me the other day, another question, question's great. What, I was saying something positive about Ikodama, and they said, what is the best thing about Ikodama? What can Tree Ratna learn from Ikodama? And what I said was, one thing that Ikodama is very good at is choose your audience. Yeah. So I have a... Whenever I've taught meditation and Buddhism here or anywhere else, I've wanted people to be receptive and to learn and to their lives to improve. Yeah, I want that to happen. But I'm particularly excited when people come who are parents or teachers or doctors or anything where they engage with other people. Every human being engages with other people, which means I'm particularly delighted with everybody, yeah? Because then it spreads out, yeah? If I teach the Metta Bhavana to a school teacher, I really hope they become a better school teacher. That's wonderful. That's what matters to me, yeah? What Ikodama does, it's what we're saying is, okay, of all the people on the planet, some people have dedicated their lives to fighting injustice. Yeah? There's a group of people called activists dedicating their lives to fighting injustice. Yeah? Different ways. Some of them are, you know, really opposed to government policies. Some of them are trying to stop fracking. Some of them are campaigning against homophobia in schools. They're doing all sorts of different things. Yeah? They don't get money, people saying thank you. They don't get any money. They get arrested. They don't get treated very well when they get arrested. They have a hard life. And what Ikodama said is these people need help. These people need the Dharma. Yeah? So we put on retreats aimed at these people, people who are already trying to fight injustice in the world. I hope that everybody who comes to the Buddhist Center does start engaging, fighting injustice in the world. Yeah? Even if it's just in the workplace, someone, one of your colleagues is getting a bit shunned or bullied or sidelined. Yeah? That's injustice. Do something about it. Yeah? At least befriend them. Yeah. But that's what one of the beautiful things about Ikodama is, who are these people who are already deeply motivated to dedicate their lives to making the world a better, fairer, happier, kinder place? Give them the tools of the Dharma to do that with, to make them stronger, to make them happier, more effective, more powerful people.